Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends from perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. What difference would it make if every person in the world had a Bible? In 1961, seven couples took on a vision and began to pursue that, the beginnings of Eastern European mission. Our guest today, Dirk Smith, is here to tell us his story and how God led him to this vital ministry that changes lives. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you, dear friend, about the love and hope of Jesus Christ. The love so strong that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, the resurrected one, who has given hope and purpose to the life of Dirk Smith, calls out to you, reaches out to you. Would you turn to him? Would you open your heart to him? And maybe you've already done so. And if you have, I believe you'll be encouraged today. And if you haven't, that's our prayer, that you would invite Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior. Dirk Smith is the Vice President of Eastern European Mission, following his highly successful tenure as a development officer with his alma mater, Harding University. He's married to Julianne, and they live in the Nashville area. Dirk, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. Great to be with you.
Dirk, where did you grow up?
Yeah, I was born in Philadelphia and grew up in South Jersey. So only people from the Delaware Valley understand why I call it South Jersey and not North Jersey, or just say Jersey. But because I bleed a little Eagle green and Philly's red. So I was born there, grew up there, graduated from Shawnee High School, and then moved away and went to college, my undergrad, moved, which that was quite a transition, from New Jersey to Arkansas. It was a little culture shock, but it was fun.
Say a little bit about that. What was the change like for you, Dirk?
Yeah. You know, growing up in the Northeast, you know, you pretty well knew anybody who was a Christian. You know, especially in my high school, even though my high school was very large, my graduating class was like 1,000, you know, people. I knew everybody who was a believer. And so you knew there was black and there was white. There wasn't any gray. There was no gray. And I will have to admit, moving to the South was a little tough for a Yankee, because there was some gray. And I encountered for the first time believers who I didn't know they were a believer until they told me they were, because by their actions, I went, really? Okay. Jesus told me to identify by fruit, but the fruit I'm seeing isn't what I thought it would be. But it was, you know, it really, you learn pretty quickly, Danny, as you live in Boston, you're in Hawaii. People are people wherever you go. They honestly are. And I jokingly said, you know, people would say to me, man, you're so blunt. You're just so bottom line. And I said to some of my Southern friends, oh, wait a second, that's not fair. I mean, I may say something, but you just add bless their heart to it, and you can say whatever you want to about somebody, and it's okay. How's that work? I mean, that you know, they would say, you know, that's the dumbest guy I've ever met in my life, bless his heart. And I'm like, that was rude. Just because you put a bless their heart on it, that didn't make it okay. So that was always my joke with the true Southerners. But you know, now I am one. I live in Nashville, and I've lived in the South more than I lived up north. I lived in Dallas for 11 years and Arkansas for 14. I've been here since 2018. So I love this part of Tennessee and love this part of the country.
When you mentioned the distinctions and the nuances, things that people who are there know intuitively, who would you say, because it takes us back to our early days when we talk about intuition, who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
That's an easy one. That'd be my grandfather. My grandfather was named Jewish Businessman of the Year in New York City in 1972. So my mom was Jewish. So therefore, by Jew standards, I'm Jewish. He never was Jewish with his religion. As far as I knew, he was always a believer. But my grandfather was just a hardworking, integrity-packed individual. And I lived with them. I lived with my maternal grandparents until I was almost 4 years old. My mom had a real bad accident, fell out of a three-story window when I was 3 months old and had 186 fractures and was in a coma for about 6 months and was supposed to die. And, you know, they told my dad he was 25 years old. He had a five-year-old, a two-year-old, and me. And he just couldn't handle. There's no way he could handle taking care of a three-month-old and dealing with all he was dealing with my mom. So I went and lived with my grandparents. And so my grandfather was, you know, by the world standards, a self-made man, had an eighth grade education, but had the best vocabulary of any human being I ever knew. He used to get the old Reader's Digest, you know, the vocabulary section, do it religiously, and would always incorporate that new word in his conversation that day. But he started in the stockroom of Woolworth and Woolco, and worked his way up to he was the executive buyer for the company, and so made a lot of trips to Japan and Hong Kong, and so I grew up kind of in that shadow, going into New York City with him and going to his office and watching him deal very strongly but ethically. And ethics was a huge part of his demeanor and his love for Jesus. You know, I saw that come through in a time and place when being a Christian in business was challenging. And I watched him and learned a lot from him. So he was probably the early influence. And then I would say there was just people in my life. You know, typically the question you hear and you get asked is, you know, so when did you become, you know, a Christian, or when did you decide to follow Jesus? And, you know, I made that decision when I was about 10 years old, and it was good. Was I a believer? Absolutely. But did I know Jesus? Not really. I would say not until my 30s, you know, when a little bit of life started happening and I realized that was the place and the only place to hang on and hold on. That was the only place that wouldn't let me down. He was it.
Dirk, you talk about those early years. They're tender times, formative years. What was your grandfather's name?
Jack. Jack Abraham Klein.
Jack Abraham Klein.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom was funny. He kept his Jewishness very quiet and very secretive. He wouldn't talk about it because, you know, being in New York City at that time, it was not easy.
Yes.
Being Jewish. Mm-hmm. The anti-Semitism was great. And so all the way to the point he got the award and he got this beautiful Torah that was silver with jade emblems on it, you know, Jewish Businessman of the Year, 1972. And I can remember having the conversation with my mother and saying, you know, Mom, you're Jewish. And she said, no, I'm not. Why would you say that? I said, Mom, your dad's name is Jack Abraham Klein. And she said, but he's not Jewish. And I said, Mom, He was awarded Jewish Businessman of the Year in 1972. Jews don't give Gentiles Jewish Businessman of the Year awards. That just doesn't happen. And but his siblings, like he had a sister named Sarah, sister named Rebecca, brother named Saul. And he even had one brother named David, but his first name was King. It was King David. I said, Mom, trust me, you're Jewish. She was a wonderful woman. Loved her deeply. She was and such a godly woman.
After she fell, mm-hmm. three stories. How long did it take her to recover? What was that like?
Yeah, I only know the stories because obviously I was 3 months old. You know, from talking to people who walked that journey with her, you know, the first news was she's not going to live. That's what my dad heard. And then it was, well, she's going to live, but she's going to be a vegetable. And then it was, well, she'll never walk again. And all I know is she, you know, she was a fighter and she worked as hard as she could. And I never really knew anything, you know, growing up, she had a limp. That's all I knew. I mean, she ended up having her left ankle fused because she absolutely crushed it and, you know, broke her back in three places and broke her pelvis. But she never complained about it. She never really talked other than, I can remember this, she said, I don't think I suffered well. And she always looked back on it as, I think I let God down. I was allowed to go through that, and I don't believe I suffered well. And I will never forget, she died at 66 of ovarian cancer. And when she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, her attitude was, God is giving me a second chance. And she said, I'm going to do it well. I'm going to suffer well. And she did. She absolutely knew where she was going. And I tell people all the time, she taught us how to live and she taught us how to die. And she did it with the knowledge that I know where I'm going, with absolute resolve, with a smile on her face. And she didn't want to leave. She didn't want to miss her grandkids and miss out on some of the things. But man, when she realized where she was going and, you know, focused on that, that's not a trade-off. I mean, there's no trade-off there.
A second chance to suffer. That's a perspective that you don't hear of very often. We're talking to Dirk Smith. Dirk is the Vice President of Eastern European Mission. He's taken us back to his early days in New York City with his grandfather, Jack Abraham Klein, voted Jewish Businessman of the Year. Well, those were precious times, but God had a plan, and God had a plan, and that plan continues to unfold. You know, those early days, as we go to our break, those early days in our lives, we often just skip past them because we're looking for the next thing. We're engaged in the next project. We have our ambitions. Sometimes they're of God, and sometimes they get diluted with our own eagerness and our own dreams. And God knows that. And maybe today, just listening to someone talk about those early moments, those formative years, or a mother who has a second chance to suffer and wants to suffer well. Well, that brings things into a new perspective, doesn't it? And Jack Abraham Klein, a life that exemplified ethics? More from Dirk Smith when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives. How you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from The Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter, This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dirk Smith remembers accepting Christ at the age of 10. But of course, knowing the Lord and growing in his faith took time. It was a process even of decades. Dirk Smith is the Vice President of Eastern European Mission, EEM. In fact, you can find out more about EEM at EEM.org. You know, their motto is the Bible. We want everyone to get it. And that's what they do. Dirk is an accomplished manager, earned business experience in development with an eye for revenue building through positions like with firms Jackson and Coker in Texas, T. Williams Consulting serving clients in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. And if we talk about EEM, and Dirk will share a little bit about the background of EEM, 2 million free Bibles were distributed in 36 nations in 22 languages in 2024. Thanks for joining us, Dirk. Thanks for sharing your story. As you grew in your faith, you went to Harding University in Arkansas. Take us back to how God led you through your work experience to the ministry of EEM.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I was kind of born a consultant. I came out of the womb asking why. I think I drove my parents crazy. And so quickly got into consulting, healthcare consulting, and then business consulting. And, you know, I had one of those moments, always walking with the Lord and growing and seeking. And that caused me to ask a lot of why questions. Being a consultant caused me to ask those why questions in life. You know, why do we do this? And so I was a student and always have been a student of the Bible, and I know God put it on my heart, and it was one of those epiphany moments. And I looked at my wife at the time and I said, you know, I just wonder if I could use this business acumen that God has given me for the kingdom in some way. And I said, you know, I just wonder when I'm 80 something years old or whenever it is God chooses to call me home, do I want to look back on my life and say, man, I made a lot of millionaires? Because that's what I was doing. I was making people a lot of money. And I can remember she looked at me and she said, you don't want to preach, do you? And I said, no, I grew up a pastor's kid. No, that's not what I want to do. And she said, well, that's good, because I would tell you I would miss you. And so we both had a laugh about that. So then we just started praying about it and really earnestly praying about what God might do. And then my alma mater called and said, hey, we need help raising money. And Danny, I got to tell you, I turned them down quick because I thought, man, who in their right mind wants to do that? I think I'd rather run razor blades up my fingernails than ask people for money. And so they came back again and turned them down again the second time. And this time they said, hey, don't tell us no. Don't tell us no. We want you to pray about it. Please pray about it. And so I said, sure. I gave it lip service. Sure, I'll pray about it. And I didn't pray about it. Honestly, we didn't really pray about it. And they came back a third time. And this time they said, listen, we want you to really pray about it. So we did. We started praying about it. And we threw out the fleece, and I mean, God made them wet, dry. Finally, he torched the altar altogether and let me know, hey, this isn't the only thing you can do, but I'm good with this. And so I did. And it was a rough 7 years. I call it my 7 years in the desert because my alma mater at that time really wasn't interested in doing anything right from a fundraising perspective. And one of the things, one of the fleece that I threw out, God had blessed me with undoubtedly the best mentor anybody could ever have. And I've always had mentors in my life, but I didn't know anything about fundraising. So God plopped in my lap Dr. Bob Walker, who was the vice president of development at Texas A&M. And Texas was in my region. And he had led A&M through, I mean, billion-dollar campaigns. I mean, just incredible fundraiser and just such a godly man. And so for 7 years, three or four times a year, I would go down to College Station. I would sit at his feet. He had shirts in his closet in my size, A&M shirts. He'd say, put that shirt on. We're going to go call on somebody. And so it was grad school for 7 years in fundraising. And so I learned from the best. And it got me to the place that I got very, very frustrated with where I was because things weren't moving. There was no strategy. And so I began praying about it, and EEM presented itself. And when that was presented to me, I thought, man, what is the downside of this? People who don't have Bibles in their heart language, never have had one, are asking for them. What could be negative about that? I mean, that's about as foundational as it gets. So in 2011, I accepted the position with the EM, initially coming on as a major gifts officer. And then shortly into my tenure, the board came to me and said, hey, would you run this? Would you do this? And I said, yeah, I would love to. And so that was almost 15 years ago now. And it's been, I tell people, for the first time in my life, I don't have a job. It's a calling. And it is everything I had ever dreamed it would be. And it is, and probably, Danny, the best thing about it is it's not about me. You know, for a guy who's somewhat of a control freak and a type A, you know, if you're into the Enneagram, I'm definitely an eight. You know, I'm out of control. And I remind our team of that all the time. This is just like when Jesus fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. It was his miracle. He just invited his disciples in to be a part of it because he knew it would strengthen their faith and they would have a blast doing it. And that's what we get to do. We just get a front row seat at what God is doing.
When you talk about God's call to EEM, the convergence point of your gifting, your passion, your experiences, your mentorship, those unique, when you meet a person like Dr. Bob Walker, it's like God kissed you, Dirk Smith, and showed you things that go on that people don't know. And probably not just things, but the way of doing it with class, with dignity, with foresight, with a degree of precision. So here you are at EEM. What's the backstory of Eastern European mission? History. A little history lesson, please.
Yeah, so EEM, really a great story. 1961, there's seven couples in their 20s. These are 20-something. I mean, think about that, Danny. I mean, they're 20. So they just graduated from their undergrad. And they decide they're going to go to Vienna and they're going to enroll in grad school there because that gives them a visa then that they can go behind the Iron Curtain, as it's known, the Soviet Union's in power, and people who know their history, you know, the Berlin Wall, et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to go behind the Iron Curtain and teach people about Jesus. And the guy who I credit with being the entrepreneur for Jesus, Gwen Hensley. Gwen goes on one of these trips, comes back, tells his wife, Gail, this is impossible. This is an impossible dream that we have because they don't have Bibles in their language. How do we tell them about Jesus when we can't point to him in Scripture? And Danny, I've got all kinds of stats that'll talk about what happens when, you know, whether it's prison ministry, whether it's Muslims coming to Jesus, whatever it is, what happens when there is Scripture engagement? That's when conversions happen. That's when people get it. So he realized that. So he came back and he said, we got to change this thing. And with a lot of opposition, because you got six other couples that came with this dream and vision of being missionaries and, you know, having Bible studies with people, but there are no Bibles. So he came back and that started a printing and smuggling operation. And they began printing what we affectionately refer to as the Marlboro Bible. I still have, you know, some originals. It's the exact size of a pack of cigarettes, because they could smuggle those across, and they knew the guards didn't care if you were smuggling cigarettes across. They would just always ask, you have any guns or Bibles? Those were the two things they didn't want. So that began smuggling and providing for other smugglers. So lots of smugglers, we were their supplier, and we were printing lots and lots of Bibles, and people were smuggling them across. So that kept going. And of course, then 1989, the wall comes down, and I am so thankful that our board at the time, EEM's board at the time, there was a lot of push to say, hey, they've got freedom now. Go someplace else. Go to China. Go to Indonesia. Go to India, wherever. And they said, you know, God's called us here. We're staying put. We're going to stay here. Relationships were established. And so now today, because of their faithfulness, these checkpoints that once they were thrilled to get 150 Bibles smuggled across, we're driving tractor truckloads and putting them in the public schools in Ukraine, putting them in the public schools in Croatia, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, North Macedonia, and on the list goes. I mean, we've gone, the year before I came on board with EEM, they distributed 200,000 books. Now, we're going to do again, we'll probably do 2.3 million books this year. So it's just, it's astounding what God has done and the team that God has assembled in Vienna, which is where our publishing and all the layout work happens. That's where our publishing takes place. And then they do the print jobs. And I'll throw in here, Danny, EEM, we don't have printer, and we don't own a printer. We believe in creating economy. So when we're distributing in Ukraine, we're printing in Ukraine. When we're distributing in Russia, we're printing in Russia, or as close as we possibly can. It holds costs down. I mean, you don't pay the import tax. And so we've been able to keep that price point. You know, $5, that's all in. You give us $5 and that's a Bible in somebody's hand. Somebody's eternal destiny is potentially going to change. We're in the parable of the sower business, and we're just getting the seed in people's hands.
Getting seed in people's hands. Bibles being distributed, Bibles being printed in places where Bibles once were being smuggled. What a story. What a story, Dirk Smith. The story of Eastern European mission. You can find out more at EEM.org. There's a video there that you can watch that in a couple minutes will give you a snapshot of all that they have done and where they're going and how you can be a part of it. When we come back, more with Dirk Smith, I'm going to ask him more about some of the projects that they've put together recently. We'll talk a little bit more about the parable and the sower business. And a man named Bob Burkle. Who is Bob Burkle? And how does God marvelously intersect our lives with his purpose and beautiful plan? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dirk Smith grew up as a pastor's kid. He went to Harding University in Arkansas, earned his bachelor's degree in mathematics and an MBA with a focus on organizational development and ethics. He worked in the corporate world and then had the unique privilege of being mentored by Dr. Bob Walker of Texas A&M. Today, he is the vice president of Eastern European Mission, EEM. EEM's mission is to share God's word with the people of Eastern Europe and beyond, and educate and inspire God's servants in his work. Dirk, who is Bob Burkle?
Yeah, Bob is our president and one of our board members. Bob is probably one of our longest standing board members, been associated with EEM for a very, very long time. And Bob, I joke with Bob every year and I say, Bob, you're going to get a raise this year because Bob takes no salary and does everything that he does for no fee. Bob is a great man and overseas and you know, we're a very, very flat organization. We have Bob and then I'm here in the U.S. and then we have Bart Rubinsky, who is my counterpart, who is our VP of European operations. Just again, a very, very gifted project manager and leader. He's got a great group of people there. But yeah, that's Bob. Bob had a very, very successful career. He's an engineer and had a very successful career and started a company and sold it and did quite well. And just has a deep love for God's word and a deep love and a great heart for the people that we are blessed to serve. A wonderful, wonderful man and dear, dear friend.
Let's go further. As you talk about Bob Burkle and your team of leaders, I mean, it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. It sounds like the opposite of being top heavy in an organization. Lean, sharp. Describe some of the leading projects that EEM develops.
Yeah, so one that people always ask about, and this happened, I'll take you on a little journey, about 11 years ago now, we got a request from a minister of education, a regional minister of education in Ukraine, and they asked for Bibles for their public schools in that region. We would call it a state. They call it an oblast or region, but it would be like, you know, the minister of education from Hawaii, you know, coming and saying, hey, we need Bibles for our public schools, or Massachusetts. So obviously when you get a request like that, you go, all right, let's vet this. What's this about? And so they shared with us, we've created this elective called Christian Ethics. And it's not a requirement, but it's offered. And the students are very interested in it, but we need Bibles. And we met with this very eclectic group of believers. They were from every tribe that you can imagine. Again, Danny, just the unity that we see over there is absolutely John 17. It's Jesus' prayer in John 17. They are all coming together around the Bible and saying, hey, we may have different traditions, but that's what they are. They're traditions. And so they looked at us. They said, we need to get our nation back to a biblical Christian worldview. And we've realized if we're going to do that, we've got to do it through our children. And so we've all decided to set aside all of our different traditions and those things that really are not weightier matters, if you will. And we're going to just teach the Bible. But we can't get Bibles. There's no place. And we said, well, if that's what you want to do, we're your people. So that started, and it went, we did one region. We got up to about five regions where we had put Bibles in all of the public schools in those entire regions, and they were teaching Christian ethics. And about 97%, 98% of the students were taking the class. It was an elective, but they were electing to take it. And then some people remember this. Yanukovych was the president at the time. He got ousted and he fled to Russia. Poroshenko comes in. He's the chocolate mogul. And Poroshenko, as he starts trying to get his arms around this nation that he's now tasked with governing and leading, he asked for reports from all the different ministers, which is what you would do. When he gets the report from the Minister of Education, he looks at it. He calls the minister in and says, all right, you got to explain something to me. Why in this region, and in this region, and in this region, and in this region, and in this one, I see test scores are going up and discipline problems are going down. Is there a common denominator here? And the minister said, yeah, that's where we're teaching the Bible. Well, Poroshenko wasn't a believer, but he was pragmatic, Danny. So he said, well, man, if that's what's doing it, we need to do this everywhere. So I wasn't planning to make a trip that year to Ukraine, but one of the gentlemen who was leading this and hanging out, I get an email from him. He said, my good friend, Dirk, when are you coming to Ukraine? I said, Vasily, I'm not this year. I'm going to be in Romania. And he said, that's close enough. I need you to come to Kyiv for 24 hours. I emailed him back and I said, Vasily, what are we going to accomplish in 24 hours? I mean, why do I need to do this? And he tells me the story. He says, I need you to go with me to meet with the Minister of Education for the nation of Ukraine, because they want to expand, but we can't do this without you. So the minister needs to hear you're on board and you're willing to do this. So I said, yeah, I can change my ticket for that. And so I flew in and we met with the Minister of Education. Very, very surreal for a meeting for a guy who grew up in the Cold War, you know, to walk in and see the hammer and sickle embedded in the floor. And I mean, you got armed guards and the whole bit. And we walk in and the Minister of Education thanks us for about 20 minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing to help turn our nation back to a Christian worldview. And he's speaking through a translator. And then all of a sudden in English, he looks right at me and he says, how can I help you? And I was like, well, you can speak English. That's pretty good. And I shared with him. I said, well, on occasion, we get a request from one of the regions, and at the 11th hour, the regional minister of education gets cold feet, or they get nervous, or something happens, and they slow the process down. Well, we're printing here in your country, and so your printers are staffing up, hiring people for these are big projects, and it's hard for them to do that. It's very inefficient. And he looks at me, and he says, oh, I'm so, so sorry. This is old school. This is old school KGB fear. He says, this will happen no more. He says, he looks down at the end of the table and he looks at his assistant and he says, put together a letter that says, EEM are our partners and our friends, and every book and Bible of theirs is welcome in every school in the nation of Ukraine. Stamp it with my seal and get it across my desk for signature and then circulate it around the country. And then he looks back at me and he says, will this help? I'm like, yeah. That's a step in the right direction, my friend. Now, again, politics are involved. And so did that just blast open the doors? And it really, no, we still had some challenges, but that ramped it up to where, and again, Danny, this is where I say, this is God. Man, we had nothing to do with that. I mean, that is God working through people. And so right before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, we had put Bibles in over three-fourths of the public schools in the nation of Ukraine. And it continues today. So as they're moving and we're seeing this happen, you've got 6 million refugees and you got another 3 million who are internally displaced. They're all on the move. And the request for Ukrainian language Bibles is just skyrocketing in all the surrounding nations where these refugees are pouring into. And it's a beautiful thing to watch happen.
You talk about the parable of the sower. And
yeah, you know, Danny, and I don't know where you are on this, but personally, Jesus is the master storyteller, the absolute master storyteller. And so in that, we realize nothing in his stories is by accident. It's all very intentional. And if you really look at the parable of the sower, it really should be called parable of the soils, honestly. The character that gets little to no emphasis, no attention at all, other than to say he went out and sowed the seed, and that's the sower. That's it. That's his job. Go sow the seed. Now, as a businessman, Danny, I would never invest in Jesus' seed company. I wouldn't do it. That's a bad investment. I mean, he up front says, hey, three are going to be bad. Only one's going to be good. I mean, Jesus, dude, we could do better than this. I mean, I'm a consultant. I can refine. I can get these bottlenecks out of the way. We can at least get every two. But it's so intentional in that our job is just to sow the seed, because then we're out of control. And we're reminded that it's the power of the Spirit. When it lands on a good heart, when it lands on good soil, you're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop the growth. It's going to take off. And Danny, that's what we get to see over and over and over again. We see people feeding each other, clothing each other, taking care of each other. Nobody's having to tell them that. They open God's word and they see Jesus say it. They're like, man, I'm in love with Jesus. He says, do this. This is what I need to do. And on and on and on, we see this happen in the 36 different nations that we're in. You're probably well aware of this, but the church, the fastest growth church on the globe right now is in Iran, where the most persecution is happening. And the bizarre thing is, it really isn't bizarre because it's so Jesus world and not our kingdom. It's his kingdom. But the ones who are discipling people are the women who have been abused, and they're turning and discipling their abusers. Now, Danny, that's upside down. That makes no sense. But we're working now with a number of ministries in the Persian speaking world and very clandestinely helping to get books in there. But it's just stories like this over and over and over again that we're reminded of the power of God's word.
We're hearing a powerful story of God's powerful word from Dirk Smith, Eastern European Mission. When we come back from our break in our final segment, maybe a little bit more personal in a different way. Difficult times. I wonder, how has God worked in Dirk Smith's life during a challenging moment? Someone today might be listening and you are facing a time that, well, you feel like the rug just got pulled out from under you. Maybe you feel like the air just got sucked out of your gut. There's pain. Could be physical, could be emotional. Could be loneliness, could be a broken relationship, could be a financial disaster. Well, how has God shown himself in unique ways, but ways that you can relate to Dirk Smith? When we come back, that and a time of prayer for you, dear friend. And remember, Eastern European Mission, the ministry that, well, goes in line with the parable of the sower. Seeds are being sown. You don't always see the sower, but you see the fruit because of the working of God's Spirit marvelously, beautifully causes fruit to be born, growth, growth and more growth. And more from Dirk Smith. Heart to Heart with you, dear friend, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We've been blessed by many of you that have told us how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in your lives, how you've shared our free podcast with family and friends from the Good Life with Danny.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Fran Valarmia Kahavai of Lighthouse Realty, Chinin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1 Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifewithdanny.com. The Good Life with Danny Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and midnight, providing opportunities to share Jesus' stories with family and friends.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dirk Smith of Eastern European Mission, EEM. You can find out more at EEM.org. Well, Dirk Smith has spoken about Jesus. He describes Jesus as a master storyteller. Indeed, we know that Jesus is, and no one spoke as Jesus spoke. At the same time, the Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has given some of those gifts, those characteristics, to Dirk Smith as an experienced presenter and storyteller who loves sharing the stories of what God is doing through the ministry of EEM. Did you know that every year the ministry of EEM conducts over 100 printing projects? Dirk Smith joins us today. Dirk, you've shared so much, not only of your time, but the depth. You've taken us to different parts of your life, each one giving us a perspective of God's marvelous grace. Today we talk, and there may be somebody who's going through a rough time, a heart-to-heart moment. Would you be willing to share a part of your life where the Lord has helped you through a difficult time?
Yeah, and I'm sure you've read my bio or seen some of this information out there, so I think I know what you're referring to, and I'm willing to share this. Yeah, I was married for 34 years, and I have three kids, a daughter, and now a granddaughter with my daughter, and then twin boys, and moved to the Nashville area in October of 18. And when we moved here, my wife at the time, Wendy, was experiencing some health issues. We didn't know what it was. And she was finally, and for people who have ever experienced or been around this disease, she was finally, after many trips to Vanderbilt and finally a trip to Mayo and Rochester, she was diagnosed with ALS, commonly referred to as Lou Gehrig's disease. And so, as you also know, that's pretty much a death sentence. She was 53 years old, and so she battled it, and COVID came at a very, very good time for us because I was the sole caregiver, and so I did everything remotely. I mean, I had already set up virtual for our organization because virtual saves money, and so I was able to work from home and be her caregiver, and some of our financial ministry partners who I usually would go see face to face. Obviously, they didn't want that, and they were fine with a FaceTime call. And so I was able to do that for the duration of her life. And she passed away in January of 23 and died very peacefully and very, very bravely. And again, like my mom, showed her kids how to die and to do that very, very gracefully. And so you go through those times and you think, you know, I look back on that and I think, how did I have the stamina to do the job that I was doing to take care of her? Because ALS is very debilitating. I mean, she couldn't talk, she couldn't eat. I mean, the last few days she was blind. And so, I mean, you're doing everything for them. And so when you go through a season like that, I got to the end of that season and Danny, I'll be honest. I said to God, you know, God, I'm good with my work with the EM and, I'm not getting married again. I'm not doing that. I'm good. And, I think God laughs at us. You know, he gets a good chuckle and he says, really, you got your life figured out. Glad to know that. And, in a very, very providential way, God inserted into my life my incredibly beautiful and also has lived through some challenges on her walk. My wife, Julianne, who I can tell people I fell in love with my best friend. And we were both just very, very good friends. And even at one point told each other, hey, listen, I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking to, this is a friendship. And we were married a year ago in May. And I am blessed now with not only my own three, but she has six daughters. Four grown, mine are all adults, but I've got a beautiful 20-year-old and a beautiful 15-year-old now. And what a gift. What a gift. So it's, you know, so, and I don't say that to say, oh, woe is me, because it's, Jesus told us in this life, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And you recognize when you grieve, we grieve, but we don't grieve like people without hope. Mm. I mean, yes, I lost my mom at 66. My dad died at 82. You know, I buried a wife. But man, God is good. God is so good. And all that I was taught through that, you know, the opportunity I had to serve my wife and to be there and COVID happening. And there was just so many good things in that, the journey that I got to be on. And now God placing this incredible woman in my life who has just taken things to another level for me. And I got to take her with me on a trip this past year, and we were in Cyprus. And on the island of Cyprus, we distribute 11 different languages on that one island. And just having her see what God is doing through this ministry of his that we call EEM. And we would leave a meeting and she would be in tears. And she looked at me and she said, man, I knew what you did was really cool, but this is unbelievable. And it's through those journeys that, you know, now she and I both have the opportunity to share with other people. And when they're going through something hard, you don't mitigate, you don't minimize it and say, no, it's not hard, get over it. No, it's hard. It's hard. It's painful. But God's got you. He's hanging on to you. Just hang on to him. Reach over and hang on to him. Because in that, you're going to grow. And Danny, I'm sure you've had trials in your life, but I would dare say every person who is a believer, when they go through trials in their life, man, it sucks when you're going through it. It's not good. It's not fun. But you are sustained by the Spirit carrying you through. And you get to the other side, and every single person I've ever had the opportunity to visit with and continue to visit with will say, I grew more in my faith during that time than any other time in my life, if you hold on to God.
Dirk, in this final 30 seconds, you say a prayer for our listener today.
Yes, I'd be happy to. Father, I don't know who's listening, but you do. And they may be going through challenges. They may just need to spend more time in your word because they're disconnected from you. We know the power that you provide. So I pray for every listener that they will reconnect to you if they're not connected. They will lean on you more if they're not, if they're trying to do it on their own. And they will glorify you with their life, because that's our task, is regardless of our earthly circumstances, to glorify you. So Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and your love for us. For it's in your name I offer this prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dirk, thank you. Thank you for spending this time with us, sharing your heart, sharing your life. We are inspired.
Great to be with you, Danny. Thank you.
Words of hope from Dirk Smith. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ, even as Dirk has, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this, look, may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live for next steps. Find resources to reach family and friends. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, major platforms, iHeartMedia. Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dirk Smith, EEM.org. Until next time, along with my producer, Chaz Ontai, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.